Welcome to New Every Day. Have you got your chocolate?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. Thank you very much.
It is the Easter weekend, and it is not about chocolate, but, you know, I do enjoy the chocolate.
It is for me.
Yeah.
But not just chocolate.
That's right. We are talking about Christ's sacrifice on the cross, but not necessarily in the conventional way that you're thinking. We're kind of pulling in from the Old Testament, the New Testament, talking about the true impact of what it means for Christ to be the sacrifice for our sins. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, so stick around.
This is New Every Day with Jeff Weston and Lawrence Cruz.
About something relevant to Easter.
Well, I think that
makes sense.
Chocolate. We got that covered.
Cadbury cream egg.
I think you mentioned the word bunny. Check. Okay.
So those two.
And how about the topic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
I think that fits in there.
I do think so.
Yeah.
And of course, prior to that, his death.
That's right.
Maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
And maybe we could bring the Bible into it.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
Probably a good idea. And of course, we go to a very familiar passage of Scripture in the Bible. We go to a very familiar passage of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Okay.
The resurrection chapter.
In 1 Corinthians.
Well, what do you know?
Which takes place well after when Christ was resurrected.
Well, how about that?
Interesting.
Written by the Apostle Paul.
Okay.
Yeah, to believers in a place called Corinth.
And interestingly enough, Paul, at the time of Jesus, was all about, or should I say after the time of Jesus, was all about wiping out Christians.
Yeah, Saul was.
When he was known as Saul.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
So it's interesting that he now writes about the resurrection of Christ since his conversion.
How about that? Well, like, points for you noting something noteworthy. It's true. Saul was pretty hardcore, wasn't he?
Yes.
Trying to clean out people like you and me. Mm-hmm. And people who watch shows like New Every Day. Like right. Those people, right?
Yes. Yeah, because it was contrary to the law.
Mm.
And that's really what it came down to, is Saul was part of, was it the Pharisees that he was part of?
Sure, let's go with the Pharisees.
It was one of the sects, the sects within the church, that where it was all about the laws and the rules. And because Christ blew all that up,
mm-hmm.
like, it changed everything, and that wasn't on.
Yeah.
So it was all about getting rid of the Christians.
Well, yeah, there it is, pretty much. It's like he hadn't met the Lord at right. that time. And so you've got all these people going around saying, hey, the Messiah has come. He's like, what are you talking about? And that would be an affront. If you're saying someone is the Messiah, you mm-hmm. know, and then believing he isn't, that's like, how dare you? And that the strength of everything he believes is being challenged to the point where it's like, I got to rid the earth of you, because you're really getting in the way of the plan of God. And this is not allowed to happen.
Right. So mm-hmm. it's interesting that he's the writer of 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know that backstory of where he came from, then to hear the way he writes, it's like, this guy believes what he is saying.
Yeah, he was a smart cookie.
Very much so.
For sure. Author of 1/3 of the New Testament. And so I'm glad he's smart.
And <That's right>.
and we're doing our best to wrap our minds around it.
Yes. So what does he say in 1
Corinthians? Well, so resurrection of Christ. So he begins, like, let me remind you, brothers and sisters. So he's talking to the church. He's talking to those church people. Remind them of what? The good news. He was a preacher, and he let them know, good news that I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. This is good.
That is good.
The gospel makes a difference in people's lives.
That's right.
He said, it's this good news that saves you if, what? Conditional statement. If you continue to believe.
Okay.
So it's possible, Jeff, I think, what I'm hearing the man say.
Some people hear it and have chosen not to believe.
Not to believe. And maybe they even once did and no longer do.
And you know what? I know people like that.
Mm.
That grew up in the church and then something clicked and like, there's no such thing as God. I'm out.
Wow, that pains me, actually. Like, it for them, I'm no better than anybody, but oh.
So it's very real.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, he's speaking to those who stood the test and said, I'm not going to not believe.
Right. And then, yeah, they're continuing to believe. He said, right? So if he goes, you stand firm in this good news if you continue to believe, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. What? So there's this idea. Yeah. What are you saying? That maybe the resurrection didn't happen? Like, is this, maybe this is floating around.
Okay. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. So Paul is like, hey, let's write about this because I'm hearing what some of you people are saying. So on verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. And okay, just right there. How about that? It's okay. What's God saying to you? I remember I was part of a church family that we regularly welcomed that question of one another. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's God saying to you lately? And you can say, what do you mean? When you're reading the Bible, what stood out to you? Nothing new. We're not coming up with all these new fancies.
Right.
That's not what I mean. But hey, in your relationship with the Lord, as you're, you know, walking, you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, as the Bible says, what's God saying to you? What's the current thing going on? Well, then we could pass that along to other people.
Right.
Kind of like what we're doing here.
Exactly.
Right? We have a topic, we begin chatting, and the next thing you know, well, that reminds me, and I remember this, and there's a story, and we're passing along things, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this is what Paul has done. Hey, it was passed on to me. Now, let me remind you of something most important that was passed on to me, and I want to pass it on to you. Here it is. Ready? Christ died.
Yes, he did.
Right there. Verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died. And then it continues, for our sins. And this Pharisee you pointed out that he was, he says, just as the scriptures said, he knew this had to happen. There was a time where he thought this was all bogus. You Christian people are nuts. And boy, something happened. Do you remember that?
Yes.
In the Bible? It was Acts chapter 9, as a matter of fact. And Paul's on his way to a place called Damascus to get rid of those numbskulls. Yeah. And God has other plans, right?
That's
knocks
right.
him off his horse.
Blinds
Talk
him.
About a jousting match.
Exactly.
Take that, Saul.
Yes. But no, you're absolutely right. I mean, the fact that he knew the law and he knew the you know, the Old Testament. That's what his whole belief system was based on. So he knew Isaiah and all the prophecies that were given about the coming of the Savior, the one who was going to set them free, and they didn't see it.
Yeah.
Because they were so focused on the rules and the regulations, they missed the redemptive, loving grace of Christ.
Oh my goodness.
But he got it.
Yeah.
Eventually.
And there's good news for you too. You might be watching today and say, you know, these two guys, I'm not sure I believe what they say, but they sure believe it. Well, yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we bless you. Like, hey, we're all at a different place in our timeline, you know, with the Lord. And maybe you're saying, I don't quite get it. I want you to know that we do get it. And get what? We believe that Jesus loves us. And we believe Jesus loves you. And the reason why we can say that, we believe this, that he died for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that when Christ died for you, he was saying, man, I love you so much that I want to die and take your place of death. The Bible clearly says that each one of us deserves death. What? Because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death. That's what Romans 6 says. Romans 3 and Romans 6. The wages of sin is death. So what do you get for your wages, for what you've done? Death for you, Lawrence. Jeff for you, Jeff. Death for every one of us. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. Father, I agree with you. I don't want that to happen. Send me, Lord, to take their place. And friends, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you and me. That's what Easter is about. Good Friday remembers the fact that Jesus Christ went to the cross and he died for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he died for me. And the Bible very clearly says, if you believe that and you actively trust that he did that for you, and then put your hope and your faith in the fact that Jesus died for you, you say, Lord, I believe it, and I want what you did to be applied to my life, then I promise you, this is what the Bible teaches, and on the authority of God's word, if you believe, you, me, we are saved. What? Our sins are no longer counted against us. Mm-hmm. That's good news, man.
It's very good news.
That's the gospel. That's the, he says, I want to pass along the most important thing. Good news. Jesus died for our sins, just as the scripture said. Verse 3. Oh, that's awesome.
It is. It's very awesome. And what a great way to have a high moment heading into a break. I mean, it's so good to just kind of go, that's exciting. It's wonderful.
Segway Sam.
That's right.
We're here today.
That's right. But we do have to take a break. But think about that fact. If you don't know Christ, on this break, contemplate that and what that means for your life. The fact that somebody 2,000 years ago knew exactly who you were going to be and went to the cross for you intentionally, on purpose, for you.
Because he loves you.
That's right. Think about that while we're on break.
Stick around for more from New Every Day.
For a limited time, get your hands on limited edition shirts from the Category 5 TV Network. These high-quality shirts are manufactured by Teespring, a fundraising website, and your purchase will help support the shows we produce. Get yours today and send us your pictures to be featured on the corresponding show. Visit cat5.tv/shirts to support us and get your official network shirt today. cat5.tv/shirts.
Jeff and I, just at break time, we were chatting, and this man is just devouring the Bible of late, right?
Indeed.
Thanks to the audio Bible and turning his commute to work to and fro, listening to the Bible and doing other good things too. But you're just like devouring. What book are you in right now?
Right now I'm in Isaiah.
Isaiah. Well, that's an awesome book too.
It's a heavy book, too.
Go ahead and read chapter 53, speaking about Easter.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that he was wounded for our transgressions, right?
Yep.
Right? And the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. This is the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, prophesying about Christ.
Yes.
Who did what? Who took our sin upon him, as we were saying earlier, right?
Yeah, it's true.
And so you're in that book right now.
I am in that book where he's starting to talk about Christ and coming, but I've just finished, well, I shouldn't say just, because I've been going through now for a couple of weeks, but I've recently come through the beginning of the Old Testament. I'm listening to it all the way through, but going through Leviticus and all the rules and the regulations.
Numbers.
Numbers.
Deuteronomy.
That's right. But all of the things that the Israelites had to do to atone for their sins.
So the author, by the way, of 1 Corinthians 15, was a specialist in all of that.
That's right.
Okay.
He knew it inside and out. And so when you go back to those scriptures and you read the first couple of books of the Old Testament, you get a whole new perspective of what it means that Christ paid the penalty for our sins.
Okay, I'm fascinated. You were telling me about this. I'm like, what? Talk to me, man. Like, something's going on here.
Well, yeah, like, I grew up in the church, and so I've heard it said, oh, you know, Christ died for our sins, and he's the sacrificial lamb, and, you know, the nice way that it's said, but it never really connected with me.
Yeah, you were writing notes to your girlfriend or something, probably, right? On the offering envelopes.
I may have.
I love you this much.
If I had all the money in the world. I do think I did that.
Sorry. Okay.
I'm fairly certain. Anyway, back on topic. But no, it's the fact that, like, for every type of sin, there was a sacrifice. And if you didn't do that sacrifice in the way it was meant to be done, your sin was not atoned for. And it got to the point that even some of the other prophets started saying, we can't do it. We can't keep up with this. We're always going to mess it up.
Wow.
And so the rules and regulations for the sin and how it was to be atoned, their sin got so great and so numerous and so offensive that they couldn't atone for it in the way that was prescribed, because they would never get away from the tabernacle. They'd always be in sacrifice. Mm. And so we needed a new way. We needed to reset the system and have a way in which we can be redeemed from our sin, every sin, in a meaningful and once and for all way. And that was Christ. Mm. And it's just like, I get it. I totally get it. I mean, it's like, oh, if you do this sin, it's like, bring a bull, and you need two goats, and you need a dove, and you...
And to be clear, it could be done rightly, such yes. that a person's sins would be atoned for.
Yes.
But they had to go back the next year.
That's right.
And then the next year, and the next year, because the Bible very clearly says that the blood of goats and animals could not take away sin.
That's right.
And the heaviness of that sin was weighty. I think that's what I heard you
yes.
saying. You realize, like, man, this is a lot. And we can't keep up, you're saying.
That's right, yeah. And then when you think about it, it's like, how else do you atone for the sin through blood in a way that is meaningful? Well, you send God. Hmm. Like, Jesus was God. He's part of the Trinity. And so God's Son was the sacrifice. You can't get any closer to the heart of God than to sacrifice your own son for humanity and say, I've got this.
Oh, yeah. So you know, in the Old Testament, when they took those animals, they had to find one without spot.
Or wrinkle. Or wrinkle, blemish.
Blemish, right? Anything. All of these things. It had to be the perfect lamb.
And in some cases, it even had to be the first.
Wow.
So it wasn't just that it was perfect, it was that it was the first.
Okay, and perfect. So then if somebody took any old lamb from, you know, oh, just use this one, then that sacrifice for sin was not accepted.
Right.
So God, the Father, sends his Son.
Who's perfect.
God the Son, who is perfect, without spot, without blemish. He qualifies to what, Jeff? Take away all our sins. You who are watching, all our sins. Praise the Lord.
It's so good.
Okay, this is why it's called the good news of the gospel. Christ took away all our sins. That is a great truth of God's word. And following in 1 Corinthians 15, oh, there's so much. Like, go ahead and read it, but we can tell you, Jeff and I, we believe it still today. Like, we're not of these people who started believing and then have faded off saying, no, I don't think we believe that anymore. Oh, to borrow from our French neighbors, au contraire. We yes. still believe this with everything that we are. Believe what? Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. Perfectly God, fully man, mm-hmm. taking our place now. Not a goat, not an animal, but what? A man? Yeah, Christ needed to come as a man so that he could once and for all, Hebrews 10 tells us, his sacrifice took away all our sins forever. And you know what's good news about that, Jeff? We don't need to go back in time.
That's right.
And year after year, sacrifice an animal in order to atone for our sins. Isn't that awesome?
It's so good. And not a surprise. I keep going back to the fact that, like, Paul was writing this and just what he knew and about the law. For him, this would be contrary to everything he believed. It would be so out there that the sacrifice is no longer required. Hmm. Not a surprise. He fought it.
Yeah.
And so many people in society,
yeah.
in our culture, around the globe, fight it. Mm. Because it's contrary to what they believe, what they feel. And at the end of the day, that's the leading of Satan. Because Satan is very much against God.
Sure, yeah. Entrenched in a tradition that doesn't exalt Christ.
That's right.
I have often thought the same thing. Like, please understand me. I can relate to Saul. Like, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, you just do the math, right? About, well, who are these people? And, you know, they're not educated, like unschooled, ordinary men. And what? And they're saying all this. Like, what's going on? Oh, you guys are a nuisance. Like, man, I hope it's not too forthright to tell. Like, I think I could wrap my mind around why he would think that.
Yeah.
So then how does another, what do I say to a person who thinks like that today? Well, I've got nothing to say in and of myself, except right. Jesus loves you, and Holy Spirit, we pray even right now to all who are listening and to those to who you're thinking about, that you're praying for. Holy Spirit, like you reached Saul of Tarsus, we pray that you would come and reach every one of our friends and loved ones, our family. What? Holy Spirit, God, encounter each one of them, because without you doing it, Lord, we'd all be lost. Oh, God, we pray you would do that. Mm-hmm. And when we pray, I believe we are praying the very heartbeat of God, who desires that none perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how awesome is that? And good. What a difference he made in the life of Saul.
Yeah, 180.
Man, in the biggest way, right? Knocked off his horse, and the first words out of his mouth, Lord, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord. Yeah.
He knew who was there.
Lord, Lord. Hey, why are you persecuting me? Lord, Lord. He didn't wonder. He knew to whom he was speaking, and he was changed in an instant.
Yeah.
Blinded for days.
Yes. But when you say changed for an instant, I mean, it's true, even at the core of his heart, because it wasn't long after that, like after he got his vision back after a couple of days, he was then heading into the towns where he was heading to kill the Christians. And they're going, I don't know if we can trust you.
Yeah.
Like, you've done a 180. Was this not the guy who was going to kill us?
Yeah, like, run for your life, run for your life.
Yeah, and I mean, so...
But that's not why he was there.
No, it wasn't. He was there to say, guys, I get it, I understand, I totally get it now. And I can't help but see, is there relation to you in that? Have you recently come to Christ and your friends are going, what is up with you? You're not the person we knew before. And you're just kind of going...
Come on now, that's like, good.
Yeah. I'm changed. I'm a different person because of Christ in my life. And that is the whole essence of what Easter is about, is that change where we don't have to go back to the old. We are the new. And so be that light, be the truth for your friends who may not know Christ, who maybe did and have walked away, like was mentioned at the beginning of this in 1 Corinthians 15.
Yes, that's a good word. You may be the encouragement. Do you know statistically in North America, Easter Sunday coming up in just,
this weekend.
This weekend is, if you invite your friends, it's likely that they'll say yes.
That's interesting.
If you take them,
same as Christmas as well?
Like Easter, Easter and Christmas are the two highlighted times where people who normally don't go to church will go on those two Sundays. Mm-hmm. And often they will hear the gospel, especially at those times. Just like, in fact, it was at Christmas time for me. When I was presented with the opportunity, would you like Jesus Christ, Lawrence, to take away all your sin? And I wept. I wept, and I did, and I said yes. And I said, Lord, please come and forgive me of my sin. And he did. He did. It was December 18th, 1977. And this Easter season, why don't we all invite a friend? And they too might hear the question, would you like to have your sins forgiven? They just might say, yes, Jesus. Please forgive me. And I tell you, even as I asked Jesus and he forgave me, as you asked Jesus and he forgave you, then others who ask Jesus, he too will forgive them. Maybe it's you right now. And you're saying, Lord, I don't know what it is, but right now you're doing something in me. Why don't you just simply say, Lord, would you forgive me right where you are? And Jeff and I tell you on the authority of God's word, if you ask him to forgive you and you believe that he can, I tell you that we promise you he will, and he'll make you as white as snow. Mm-hmm. Isn't that awesome?
That's very awesome. And you know, interesting tidbit of information, 32 years ago, this weekend, I got saved.
How about that?
It was an
man.
Easter weekend. Oh. I was four.
Talk about new life. Oh, now you can do the math. Now
that's
you know
right.
how old the beard is.
Well, the beard's not that old. I was not born with a beard.
For that, we're thankful.
That's right. All right. Well, fun way to end this week. But it is Easter weekend, so enjoy your time if you're spending with family, and just remember that it truly is about remembering Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And so if you've just just turned your life over to Christ, maybe because of this show or maybe just because of the weekend.
Let us know.
Absolutely. We want to hear from you and we want to celebrate with you. All right. Have a great, great week.
Happy Easter.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Roku, Kodi, Plex, YouTube, Google Play Music Podcasts, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 on KBVB-TV Channel 33, television for the high desert.